And welcome to another edition of Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is the start of an interesting couple of weeks on the show because it's the coverage that we've done on the Vancouver International Wine Festival, year 44. We've done 17 of these years, as long as we've been a wine show. Now, Harry Hertzik is a numbers guy. He's the executive director of the wine festival. He lives by these numbers. 1,135 wines, 17 countries, 147 wineries, 36 events, 8 days, 18,000 in attendance. They celebrated the region of South America this year. There's a region that's huge. Chile, Argentina, Uruguay, and Brazil. The Californians showed up in style. In terms of numbers, I did, I think, 20 interviews. We're going to start with DJ Kearney, who literally saved my bacon. She sat down for the first couple of interviews, as she offered to do. And then I looked up for the third and fourth interviews, and she was still there. She was actually wrangling people, bringing them to the ones, the guests who were supposed to be in the chair. Sometimes she was bringing them to the chair. DJ Kearney. She is the wine director at Terminal City Club in Vancouver. DJ is a highly respected wine judge, wine expert, a writer. She has trained more than 1,000 sommeliers throughout North America. Everybody goes to DJ one time or another. And she has represented the wines of Chile, of Argentina, California. She has that kind of knowledge. And charming as all of us. Anyway, she saved the day. She stayed for most of the show. And for that, I will love her even more than I already do. So in this edition of Tasting Room Radio, we'll talk to J.J. Dowell of Lake Sonoma Vineyards and Plume in Napa, Sonoma. We'll also talk to Krista Lee McWaters from the McWaters Collection and Tony Holler from Poplar Grove, Jamie Benziger from Imagery Estate and Benziger Wines in Sonoma, Tyler Tennyson from Aquilini Vineyards, Red Mountain, Washington State, and David Phillips from Michael David Wines in Lodi. Enjoy the show. Here we go. Let's go looking for DJ. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor in Osoyoos in the South Okanagan. Moon Cursor won 3 Best of Category Awards at the 2023 All-Canadian Wine Championships, the 2021 versions of Syrah, the Contraband Syrah, and the Malbec, all won double gold. But you also want to keep your eye on the Rosé, Heist 2022. Do yourself a favor. Go pay them a visit. Moon Cursor in Osoyoos, mooncursor.com. DJ Kearney is with me. I don't know for how long or how many times. If she sits down, we'll put a microphone in front of her. DJ Kearney, of course, the wine director, all things wine at Terminal City Club, and a guest speaker at this 44th annual Vancouver Wine Fest. You're speaking on what?
I'm speaking about California TDM. Great to see you. Great to be here. Thank it's you. Our big wine love-in, the 44th edition. I wasn't around for the first one, but, you know, the tall blonde in my life, David Schofield, was. And he was reminding me that the very first wine festival had Robert Mondavi and Chateau St. Jean and not much more. So we've come a long way with dozens and dozens of wineries, about 80% of what we've had in the pre-pandemic years. But it's such a nice lineup. It's so great to celebrate North and South America.
Let me stop you there for a second, because you and I were in Mendoza for their wine awards.
Yes, we were.
And you were speaking to them saying, stop using so much glass in your big bottles.
See
if
yeah.
I don't know if you ever got anything turned around, but I admired that. And, of course, I know that I've gone to a number of your Chilean tasting.
Mm-hmm.
So Chile has asked you to speak on their behalf.
Oh, my gosh.
So how are things in, I know this is a big question, in South America generally in terms of wine?
You know, things are in a very, very good place. Both Chile and Argentina have, you know, as very old New World wine regions, right? Their wine industries stretch back to the 1550s. Which is incredible for New World countries. And, you know, they're very mature wine regions and markets, and they are, you know, they're getting granular. They're really peeling back the land in such an exciting way now, understanding their terroir like they never have, and the wines are really showing it. They do so many beautiful varietal wines, you know, well-priced, easy to love. And, you know, they do that extraordinarily well. But what they also do so well now are those complicated, intricate, complex wines that just drip with terroir and sense of place.
Because to me, they that's, can.
Because they can, but also because they're interested, they're motivated, right? It's the way the wine world is going. But, you know, when these two countries invest in it, it makes things very, very exciting.
Argentina and Chile, still competitors and friends, do you think?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it's a bit of both. I think they're very cognizant of each other's strengths, and they definitely pay attention to market share. But, you know, they really, you know, Cabernet is such an emphatically outstanding grape in Chile. Malbec is doing ridiculously special things in Argentina. So, you know, they skate on each other's pond a little bit, but they're so distinct.
You're speaking on behalf, you've represented the Wines of California, and you're speaking about them tomorrow?
I am, yes. Eureka in the glass. I'm trying to think about the last time I said the word Eureka in a sentence.
Zousy.
I know. Well, it's such a fabulous word because it's like, wow, look what I've got, look what I found. What California is doing now is looking at itself all over again from a different point of view. You know, they've done the fighting varietals. They've done looking at, you know, Napa and Sonoma and Santa Barbara and Paso from the point of view of grape varieties. They've done a lot of sort of geologic work within the large regions of the North Coast and the Central Coast. But now the perspective has completely shifted to a 3D one. So it's about topography, geology, oceanic forces, underwater forces, currents, winds, gaps, mountains, rivers and deltas. It's really they're looking to understand their wines in the way that environment and topography shapes them. And it's brave. Right, it's brave.
Are there some that think that all of that data and all of that information would change California wines?
Oh, I think it's changing the way people think about their wines, from the growers to the winemakers, and we want that story to trickle down to the public. And, you know, the wines really are shaped by these forces. When you taste a Pinot Noir that's right on the coast and it's experiencing the icy cold Pacific Ocean, the fog, the nonstop winds, you know, it's flavor, acid, tannin structure is completely different from one that's, you know, a little cozier inland. The effects of altitude, being above the fog line, being in the path of the howling wind in the Salinas Valley. It's extraordinary how the wines just take all of that on. And, you know, California has been through several iterations of looking at itself. From grape variety first, and then the effects of soil, and now this three-dimensional look is very, very special. There are very few countries who are doing that. Chile did a little bit of that a few years ago when they recognized that it wasn't latitude that defined their wine region so much. You know, so what's that? 37 degrees north compared to 42 degrees or south compared to 42 degrees south, but they realized that it was proximity to the Pacific Ocean, being in the depression between the two mountain ranges or in the mountain foothills, that's what defined their wines. So they shifted their entire appellation system to coastal. The Entre Cordillera, the middle, that depression between the two mountain chains, and then the foothills. So it was incredible and insightful and visionary for them to do that. And I feel that, you know, what California is doing now is very, very special.
Just one last thought. That Mondavi first,
yes,
that David was referring to, How many BC wines were there that year?
So I asked him if Mission Hill was part of that or Grey Monk, and you know he wasn't sure. So we'll have to do some research.
So now we have rows and rows and rows of BC wines here, pouring their best, to be applauded.
Yep, we absolutely do. We have a couple, it looks like just under, it looks around 20 that we have on the list here. And I can remember when, you know, this festival has always featured, you know, big, important, you know, profound wine regions and wine countries. And I can remember when BC was a feature region. And it was seemed so strange after that that we hadn't done it before. But yeah, I mean, we have so much to be proud of. Our wineries are going from, you know, growing in leaps and bounds, and wines are becoming more complex as we get more intimate with our regions and
our sense of place.
Our sense of place, our geology, topography, exactly. So
now I don't know what's going to happen, because literally this is going to be just one crazy throw the balls in the air and see where they land. But if I do see you at the end of this show, and we happen to have Harry on one chair and Evan on another, and you care to sit down, I'd like to know what you saw, just because you walked the room. Mm-hmm. You may have gone home by that point. All I'm saying is, if you are, I'd like to know just your impressions of the room and the pour today.
Yeah, absolutely. Wine's greatest strength is diversity. We have a lot of diversity here in this massive tasting hall, and nothing is more exciting than that.
And there's no better outfit than yours that you're wearing. Thank you so much.
Cheers, TDM.
DJ Kearney, Terminal City Club wine director and a guest speaker here at the 44th Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor in Osoyoos in the South Okanagan. Moon Cursor won 3 Best of Category Awards at the 2023 All-Canadian Wine Championships, the 2021 versions of Syrah, the Contraband Syrah, and the Malbec, all won double gold. But you also want to keep your eye on the Rosé, Heist 2022. Do yourself a favor, go pay them a visit. Moon Cursor in Osoyoos, mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Let's say you want to take a tasting experience at Hillside. You can join them daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can do the portfolio tasting, and it showcases their legacy vineyards dating back to 1984. Or the terroir tasting, and it shines a spotlight on their single vineyard series. It's the award-winning Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca.
We start with the J.J. Dowell. Lake Sonoma, strangely in Sonoma, who I did a Zoom interview with Tony Stewart. Here you are. Have you been here before?
Not to the Wine Fest. Pretty exciting.
This is her first time at the Wine Fest.
I know. I heard that. Been to the Okanagan, but first time here.
Let's just talk about what you brought to pour, and we'll go from there.
Fantastic. Thanks again for choosing to let us talk about some wine. It's exciting to get to be on your microphone again. Thank you.
Well, I found myself at the wine festival. I thought, okay, let's talk about wine.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a weird thought. What I brought today is our 2020 Chardonnay that's from the Russian River Valley of Sonoma County. And then also the 2021 Cabernet Sauvignon that's Sonoma County, which both are available here in the BC area and other parts of Canada, too.
You've brought some Plume.
Yes, we brought Plume at our booth. Exactly. Yep. Have you tried the Plume?
I haven't tried the Plume. Well, not the new one.
Okay.
Not the new one.
Well, good.
And explain to people the connection between you and the Okanagan.
Oh, sure. Hopefully many people that are listening already know about the Stewart family. One of the first families to have put some grapes in the ground in the Okanagan Valley. So they're long-lived visionaries, I would say. And they, as much as it is fun and exciting to grow grapes here, in California we just grow grapes a little bit differently. We have a lot more sunshine. And Tony had a vision to see, you know, how it might change the portfolio for their vision. And so They've owned a winery there for over 10 years.
Not just a winery, historic winery.
Yes, true. Actually, two historic labels. Plume, we make three labels in California, mostly from Sonoma County. The new label is called Plume, P-L-U-M-E, which is kind of a fun nod because it's like the feathery part, the headdress of a quail, right? Which is pretty great for Quail's Gate, right? I love the connection myself. I get a kick out of it every time, right? and then we also make wine for Valley of the Moon Winery and Lake Sonoma Winery. So Valley of the Moon was originally started making wine in 1868. And then Prohibition happened and then was reborn in 1941.
Did they survive by making sacrificial sacramental?
Probably that, yes. No bathtubs. No. And then Lake Sonoma Winery was born in 1977. So what's cool is they're both labels that have some history behind them.
Don't you love the dynamics in that story? Just about the fact that, that an Okanagan Canadian winery family would invest in California.
Yeah, I mean, it was astonishing at the time. I remember thinking how exciting and what a great contrast the two regions are, and how visionary the Stuarts were. Like they, you know, I thought about Pinot first and foremost because you probably know that the Stuarts are really responsible for the high quality of Pinot Noir in the Okanagan Valley. Mm. You know, they were pioneers, they did clonal trials, they shared all of the intel from that. It was really quite extraordinary. You know, you've worked with some great Pinot around the world, and that's something that I'm curious about. You know, from you were at Villa Maria, a winery that I admire so much, several visits there, and I'm Bonnie Doon. That must have been a trip to work with Randall Graham.
For sure.
But yeah, and now you've come to the Okanagan and you've probably tasted the Pinot that is made there. Like, where do you think the Okanagan sits in the panoply of Pinot Noir places?
That's a really great question. And it's funny, I hadn't thought of myself as a Pinot Noir aficionado. I love to consume Pinot Noir, but when you think about that, I appreciate you bringing it up because I have made a bit. I personally love a Pinot Noir with a little more austerity and some pointed direction to it. So for me, the wines that come from BC, especially the Okanagan Valley, they just have that natural crispness and a bright fruit quality. And then you can play with the extraction and figure out how much tannin you really want out of it. But I think all of the characteristics that I personally love in a Pinot come very naturally out of the wines here. So for me, if only BC could make more wines, which, you know, the earth just doesn't produce as many grapes.
We only have the one desert.
Right, exactly.
You know, we can go higher in elevation. It's just a function of money and effort. Mm. So we can grow.
That's a good point.
Yeah. It can happen.
I thought we were kind of at the end of our abilities, but that's a really good point.
J.J. Dowell, Lake Sonoma. Now, of the wines that you do make, are there other brands coming our way?
Nope. The three that I make, which are on the California side, are those three that I mentioned before. But as far as Quail's Gate's concerned, I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to say, but they do have a up-and-coming new brand that is very exciting. I know a lot of work's gone into finding a really heart-forward name that really
relates to the quail.
Yeah, and connects a lot with the family.
Yeah.
I don't want to step on anyone's toes and say something wrong, but
this year, next year, how long do we have to hold our breath?
So the name is official, and then the wine to fill it, I think, is about a year behind.
Okay.
So I would say about a year, but don't hold me to it.
Can you fill us in a little bit on the cataclysmic climate conditions that you've had this last little while? How are the grapes doing?
Yeah.
I was there for the 8th atmospheric river in wine country in January and early February, and I was just nuts what I was seeing. So how are the vineyards looking now?
I think the vineyards are the least poorly affected, to be honest, because the ground where the water sits way below the water table, was getting pretty depleted, and the grapes were having to seek more and more, which in a certain level, we want the grapes to go seeking for their water to create a little bit of resistance to their easy growing. Mm-hmm. But maybe we were getting a little extreme at that level based on 4 years of consistent drought. Filling up the root reservoirs is really good for the vineyards. I think the human component of the catastrophic water is a lot more intense than the grapes, I think, will mostly be happy. Where I think it will come back and be a little tough on the human side again is all this water will create, all the in-row planting will go crazy, which is going to need more humans to manage. And then also the shoots are going to have way more water, and so the shoots are going to go crazy. In order to make a really great wine, you really need to keep the vine in balance. And so if you only want to produce so much fruit, you need to bring your shoots, the green part, down to support the amount of fruit you want to grow. And so there's going to be a lot of labor required to stay on top of this. And, we don't have the labor we need. So I think vineyards that either don't have a consistent team that works for them, and so they have to stand in line to get the teams to show up, or they can't afford to have two passes through the vineyard, they might have a tough year as far as like vegetal impact on the wines, if that makes sense, because it's more green growth versus fruit.
JJ Dowell, Lake Sonoma, just a thought, last thought here. The one thing that we expect from California wines is consistency.
Yes, I think that's fair.
I don't know how many wine fans actually think, I'm not talking about these folks in this room, but wine fans in general, how much they think about that growing season and what you had to go through to be consistent with what's in the bottle.
Well, I think for us, the really difficult thing of last harvest in the 22 was this really long heat wave that was the hottest California's ever seen. And it was very early on. And so a lot of the wines, a lot of the grapes on the vine had to be harvested, and the tannins weren't able to ripen maybe at a level we would normally wait for. But if you managed your fermentations properly, we could still get through with some great wines. So I think you can still expect a really consistent, high-quality wine, but we had to work for it this year.
Yeah.
And California winemakers don't always have to work as hard as BC winemakers.
We have to let her go.
Oh, we have to let her go.
I will miss you.
I will have more of JJ tomorrow in our seminar.
Wonderful.
So I'm happy, DDM.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, enjoy these and throw them out to your tasting. You and your wife enjoy, I know, tasting some wine. So put
JJ,
it in
JJ Dowell, Lake Sonoma, thank you so much. Thanks, Deej.
Thanks, DDM.
Bye.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Let's say you want to take a tasting experience at Hillside. You can join them daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can do the portfolio tasting, and it showcases their legacy vineyards dating back to 1984. Or the terroir tasting, and it shines a spotlight on their single vineyard series. It's the award-winning Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. The Mount Boucherie Tasting Room has a lot of wine in it, but is also equipped with a wide variety of meats, cheeses, crackers, and spreads that guests are able to purchase and enjoy at the designated picnic area, or just take a lawn blanket. Of course, the value of opting for a picnic over a traditional dining experience is that guests are able to purchase bottles of wine at the retail price, which allows even small groups to enjoy a couple of different bottles without breaking the bank. The winery picnic is a true Okanagan life hack. Find all the details at mountboucherie.com.
Let me introduce Crystal Lee McWaters, the general manager and resident family member of McWaters Collection and Orolo Restaurant. in Penticton, and Tony Holler from Poplar Grove, the co-owner, Naramata Bench. I've just introduced you both.
Oh, all right. Would you like some bubble?
Bubble. What bubble are you pouring, Kisley?
This is our 2017 McWaters Brut. This we released about 6 months ago. So this is our 2017 McWaters Brut. This one's kind of near and dear to my heart because this is a celebration of my dad's 50th vintage in the Canadian wine industry and one of the last wines that he blended. So.
I remember when you told me that and your voice caught.
I was you're going to make me do it again, aren't you?
Now, what else did you bring to pour? Because it's a collection.
It is a collection. So today we're also pouring our Chardonnay, our McWaters Collection Chardonnay, our McWaters Collection White Meritage, which most people don't realize it comes in white as well, and also our Red Meritage. And then we have another special wine that we're pouring, which is called our Apera, which is, again, another project that my father was working on. It's a 2011 vintage, and it's a fortified wine, and I don't know really how you describe it. I guess sort of a Sherry's-esque style.
You love that
It's
stuff.
One of a kind, just like he was. So,
fantastic. Tony, what are you pouring, Poplar Grove? Do you know?
We are pouring, obviously, our Pinot Gris. Yes. If we didn't pour our Pinot Gris, there would be a riot here. Now, we're also pouring our rosé, our regular rosé, and then our Merlot, our Cab Franc, and Legacy.
Deej.
How about the acid in this sparkling wine? It's just a bolt of lightning. It's absolutely fantastic.
And what would you automatically pair with it?
A seafood tower, please. Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, you say white meritage, and that is just synonymous with your dad. I remember tasting the very old, you know, Sumac Ridge white meritage with him, and yeah, just so fantastic.
How many other family members are here?
My sister's here as well. Yep. So she's pouring at Evolve Cellars. And then we also have Kronos as well. So our winemaker, Lizzie Schatz, is here too. So she's at the Kronos table. So
three different tables?
All three different tables, yes. Yeah, we're silly.
Did you bring Chef from Orlando?
We did not. We left Chef back at the restaurant. Seeing as we've just opened a month ago, we thought we need to keep in nearby, but soon we'll let him leave the valley.
I love that dinner we had there.
I'm so glad.
And Tony, speaking of food, you have wrangled yourself two fine chefs.
We have. We were very fortunate. Obviously, Rob Radcliffe was a fantastic chef, but as you know, he got recruited by Canoe in Toronto. And when he told me about it, I said, you've got to take the job. Like, there's no, you don't have a choice. So when people knew that Rob was leaving, we got a call from Stacey and Manette from the Naramata Inn. And they were at that stage where they'd been working under, you know, and it was time for them to spread their wings and run a restaurant. And so we were so fortunate. You know, luck always plays an important role in any business you have. And it's so nice. And they are perfect. The food, we've eaten there now. You know,
well,
probably
I had brunch there last weekend, and it was phenomenal. So great job, Tony.
Well, good job on those two, right? They're great personalities, all that stuff. And they're going to run that place. You know, I love the way they just deal with everything, you know, and get to it.
Crystal Lee McWaters, the general manager and resident family member of McWaters Collection and Orolo Restaurant in Penticton, and Tony Holler from Poplar Grove, the co-owner, Naramata Bench. One thing about Crystal Lee, about the collective. Mm-hmm. We're now naming specific areas the wines are being grown. Mm-hmm. How many are you touching base on?
I'm just trying to think on all of this, a good question. The wines in the McWaters Collection are actually all throughout the Okanagan. So the sparkling is a blend of a vineyard from Kelowna, as well as one in Penticton and Osoyoos. So it really is the whole Okanagan.
It is a region. What are you drinking?
I am luxuriating in the Poplar Grove Pinot Gris that everybody adores for very, very good reason. It's just, you know, it gets you on the nose first. It's so captivating with peaches and honey white flowers. It's a glorious.
Do you know who helped plant this?
Would that be you?
And Meg Mulligan. We only did a couple of rows, but it was fantastic. Right below the restaurant.
Yeah, you know, I mean, our Pinot Gris, you know, it's a fan favorite. You know, it's just Stepan and the winemaking team have been making it for 15 years. They've got it down to a fine science. And what we've done, which is probably interesting, is Stepan has had us buy specific pieces of land to grow Pinot Gris on. And some of the land you go, why are we on a north-facing slope on Nerbata Bench growing anything? As Stepan said, I want the acidity. I don't need any flavor coming off this vineyard, but I want the acidity, because I've got lots of vineyards that fully ripen and all that sort of stuff. But we've probably now got 7 Pinot Gris vineyards on the bench. And it's exciting. You know, Stepan's a master.
Anything else?
He is. Just 20 seconds on how the vines are coming along.
Oh, yeah. So I think the Nerbata bench dodged a big bullet. I think we're super lucky. There is some damage to the primary buds and things like that, but we've looked at it, we've done it, and I think we're going to be fine on the bench. More concerning for us are our 40 acres of reds in Osuyas. And we just don't know, because we're going to have to wait till the buds burst and we start getting shoots before we know how much damage there was. But as you know, whether you're Black Sage Rose or North Okanagan, it's devastating. It's terrible, right? And so we'll see. We'll see. We're being cautiously optimistic. Would you say that?
that's your middle name. But I would say that.
Last question. Do you think your father would have taken this collection this way? I mean, I know he thought in those terms, but if it's going to require your push, your brains, your foresight to bring this along. You've got three labels there now, and more to come, and more people involved now. The food program, you've got this incredible headquarters downtown in Penticton. Where do you go from here? Do you just build?
Oh, yeah. No, we have a lot on the go happening. So we're actually going to be neighbors with Tony as well, with one of our brands. So Evolve is getting its own home again. So we're actually just planting next week our vineyard there, and the tasting room will be open next year. But we also have a winery at the District Wine Village, as you know, so that's exciting. And no, it's a new chapter. So the new owners, Ron and Shelley Merritt, we're full steam ahead, and they have big visions, and we're looking at some exciting new projects as well.
Thank you both for sitting down with us.
My pleasure.
Crystal Lee McWaters, the general manager and resident family member of McWaters Collection and Orolo Restaurant in Penticton. And Tony Holler from Poplar Grove, the co-owner, Nerimata Bench. Thank you both.
Always.
Thank you, Deej.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Okanagan Wine Festivals. Mark this in your calendars, please. The Okanagan Fall Wine Festival, October 27th through 31st, November 1 through 5. And as part of the event, October 27, Valley First presents Après Crush South. As another harvest comes to an end, they invite you to celebrate the vintage during an evening of wine and food. It's Après Crush, October 27. All the details at thewinefestivals.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. And a reminder from Unsworth that the month of August is Wine Festival in the Cowichan Valley. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com.
Please introduce yourself to our at-home audience.
I am Chris Turek, the Sales and Marketing Director and co-founder of Unsworth Vineyards on Vancouver Island.
But aren't you really more than that? Aren't you the future of Unsworth?
Yeah, if I behave myself, I think they'll keep me around for a little longer. But
you know what you're pouring today, and we'll get to that in a second. You've been doing a lot of study on your Master's of Wine. Where are you in that journey?
So I'm referred to as a Stage 2 student. So that means I've passed stage one for the math whizzes out there. So stage two, at the end of stage two, in a couple of weeks, I'll be writing the Master of Wine exam itself, which is 4 days of tasting and theory. And then pending passing that, it's on to the research paper, which is stage three, and then signing the code of conduct, and then adding a decimal to the paycheck.
When did you challenge yourself to do this?
I applied in 2021, I guess, and then completed stage one on my first try, and now this will be my first time in early June writing the MW exam.
Fantastic. All right. I think it was Gismondi column yesterday talking about wines you should taste. Not specific tables, but wines you should taste. And one was the Chardonnay.
Yeah, I think when you have folks like yourself and Anthony recognizing and supporting what you're doing with what Unsworth and Cowichan Valley producers have been doing with Charme de Lille. When you get that kind of recognition and that kind of support, it does mean a lot. And then, of course, you know, between Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé, they're two of our most widely distributed and popular wines, and for good reason. You know, people have been saying, we want more bubble. We want more bubble from Vancouver Island. So we just, you know, appeased them. And it's a fun, vibrant style of wine. It's made in a similar method to Prosecco, but it's decidedly dry and has a little bit more intrigue, a little bit more complexity than many of the commercially available Proseccos. And it's a great great local alternative to internationally recognized wines.
Which leads me to a segue. What are you pouring today at the table?
Today and throughout the festival, we are pouring Charme de Lille. We're pouring our Pinot Gris, our Chardonnay, our Rosé, and the 2020 Pinot Noir. Okay. Yes.
Well, I saw one come out with a wax top, and I thought, whoa, that's special.
Yeah, that's our single vineyard Pinot Noir from Saison Vineyards, which is about, I don't know, 20 minutes north of the winery. A very very high quality site and very dedicated growers, and that fruit is always amongst the best of the fruit that we deal with.
And the new plantings that you've done, when will we start to see a first measurable fruit?
Yeah, the first harvest of our new plantings will be 2025 and 2026. So those will be, you know, on the market, so to speak, probably in, you know, 2027, 2028.
Just as you become a master wine.
Exactly, yeah. In terms of the wine industry, right around the corner.
Is there anybody in the room that you want to have a look at?
Of course, yeah. Where to begin? The room is always great. There's always great wines to find. And one of my favorite pieces of advice is to look for the folks with the red lanyard, because you've got the blue lanyard. Yeah, look for the folks with the blue lanyard, because those are the principals, and they're usually a winemaker or general manager or owner, and they're always happy to share their thoughts and what makes their wines interesting and special.
Now, this is a trade. They should know where you are and who you are. They should. If they're asking questions about, tell me about Unsworth, where is the couch? You know that they can't be trade, or they're trade from somewhere else.
Yeah, generally, especially in the BC trade, is pretty acutely aware of what's going on in the Cowichan Valley and the rest of Vancouver Island. But I am always happy to share our new story, because there's always, you know, it's an international festival, and there's many people here from that may not be as familiar with BC wines as we are. So I'm always happy to share what makes the island unique and how it differentiates from other Canadian wines.
Two questions. First is, what's the buzz? What kind of feedback do you get from the two purchases of yourself and Blue Grouse in the Cowichan?
Well, it's been an overwhelming success story. You know, it's been 2.5 years, almost 3 years of Unsworth, riding in that same bus, and it's just from a day-to-day perspective of our business, it's, you know, the wines are getting better. We're planting this amazing vineyard. I've been given tools in my job to help me do what I'm doing. And it's been a really incredibly positive and eye-opening experience to see what an international wine company can bring to a region.
And finally, the Cowichan Wine Festival is going to take place in which month and when and where?
Well, there's quite a few events. There's a trade event on May 5th in Victoria. And then in August, we have the festival. And I forget the exact date of the event at Brentwood College in Mill Bay. I want to say,
I think it's July 26th, somewhere on.
The 26th or 27th. I think that's definitely ringing a bell. So, you know, obviously Brentwood's a beautiful campus right on the water. There'll be all
the whole of the month is going to be Winefest.
Yeah, exactly. We've got the passport program, which can be purchased on the Couch and Wine Society website. And I think we have most, if not all, wineries in the valley participating and offering a flight to show, you know, locals and visitors what we're doing in the Cowichan Valley.
Well done, young man. Well done. Carry on.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
The wonderful Chris Turek, the marketing manager from Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. That takes care of part one of Tasting Room Radio's coverage of the 44th Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. Next week, Tyler Tennyson from Aquilini, Red Mountain, Washington State. David Phillips from Michael David Winery in Lodi, California. Justin Hall, the winemaker at Incomeep in Osoyoos. And right next door, Michael Coleman from Osoyoos La Rose. And from Behringer Vineyards in Sonoma, Ryan Resch, the winemaker and general manager. And we'll finish off with Oscar Salas, the winemaker from Santa Rita, and Pablo Prieto, the winemaker from Vina Carmen, both from Chile. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. And a reminder from Unsworth that the month of August is Wine Festival in the Cowichan Valley. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com.